Chapter 3. A Visitor. Before returning to London, I made a promise to my father to get help with my grief. So after I finished my first shift back at work, I went to the Moving On Circle, a group for people who were bereaved. They met in a church hall near my flat. But I wasn't able to talk about my grief the way that the others talked. And as I listened to their stories of dead husbands and wives, shared houses, lives and children, I felt like a fraud. I even lied and told them that Will's name was Bill. But how could I explain to these strangers what Will and I had been to each other in a very short time? I wouldn't come next week, I decided, and I would find a reason for Dad. The Moving On Circle finished at 9:30. I stepped out into the warm summer evening, feeling exhausted. I had come straight from work, so I was still wearing my silly green uniform.
His name wasn't really Bill, right?
I turned around. A teenager from the group was walking just behind me.
No,
I admitted. I remembered that the boy was called Jake, and his mother had died 2 years ago. Mark, who led the group, had asked him how his dad was coping.
He's got lots of crazy girlfriends, Jake had replied. He seems to have a different one every night.
And then the group agreed that Jake's father was coping in his own way.
You're right to lie about it with people like Daphne in the group, Jake went on now. She's a good person, but she gives out information like a TV newsreader.
A man was waiting next to a motorbike, holding a helmet. He lifted a hand as Jake crossed the car park and gave him a hug. I stopped in surprise, because it wasn't often that I saw a man hug his son like that.
How was it?
Jake's dad asked.
Okay,
Jake replied. Then he pointed to me.
This is Louisa. She's new.
The man looked at me. He was tall and muscular, with wide shoulders. I nodded to him, but as I passed, he kept staring.
You're that girl, he said.
Oh no, I thought. Does he know about me too?
You fell off the roof?
And that's when I realised who he was.
Oh, you were...
The paramedic. I wondered what happened to you. I almost fell down with relief. My eyes ran over his face, and I suddenly remembered his kind voice.
I'm good, I said. Well, my hip still hurts. I have a boring job with an awful uniform, and I'm going to a bereavement circle.
The hip will get better, he said. Then he looked at my green uniform and smiled. I laughed.
This is so strange.
You saved me. He lifted a huge hand and began to walk away.
It was nothing.
Hey, I called suddenly. He looked back towards me.
It's Sam, actually.
Sam, I didn't jump off the roof.
Okay.
No, really, I wouldn't jump.
That's good to know, he replied. Nice to see you, Louisa.
He got on his motorbike, with Jake behind him. I watched them put on their helmets and ride out of the car park. Then I remembered Jake's words in the group. He's got lots of crazy girlfriends.
Oh, stupid girl, I told myself as I walked back to my car.
At 10 o'clock that evening, I called my only friend, Nathan, in New York. He used to be Will's physiotherapist and had spent the last 9 months caring for a middle-aged man with a huge townhouse and a muscular illness.
Hey, Lou. So, how are you?
I shrugged. I'm still recovering.
Are you still sleeping in Will's t-shirt?
He asked. No, it stopped smelling of him and got really dirty. But I've still got his jumper for bad days. Oh, and I went to a bereavement group today.
How was it?
Terrible. I felt like a fraud. I lay back on my bed. Sometimes I think that I imagined it all, Nathan. I mean, how can I have loved someone so much in the little time that we had? There was a short silence. Then he said,
"You're not a fraud."
I closed my eyes. Am I the only one who's still missing him?
No, he was a good guy. The best.
I sat up suddenly at the sound of the doorbell. Nobody ever rang it. It rang again, and a third time. "I've got to go," I said. "Someone's at the door."
"Keep smiling, Lou. You'll be okay."
I put the phone down and walked to the door. "Who is it?" I said into the entry phone. "Are you Louisa Clark? I need to talk to you." It was a girl's voice. I opened the door a little. "It's very late. Can't you let me know what it's about?" She was wearing a large jacket and had long brown hair and a pretty, fresh face with black eye pencil around her eyes. She wasn't more than 16 years old.
"My name's Lily Horton Miller. I need to talk to you about my father, Will Traynor."
I immediately went to shut the door, but she had put her foot in front of it. And suddenly, Lily Horton Miller was in my living room and staring around.
"Wow," she said. "Is this where you live? Where's your furniture?"
"I've just moved here," I lied.
"I don't understand. Will didn't have any children. Who's your family? I mean, who's your mother?"
"Tanya Horton Miller. She's married to my stepfather, Francis Stupid Face Horton, and they live in St. John's Wood. I know that my father is dead. That's how I learned about you. There was a program on TV about Dignitas, and they said Dad's name, and Mum went really strange. She didn't know that he had been paralysed and was in a wheelchair. She only ever said that he didn't want to know me."
The girl shrugged, taking a cigarette from her bag and lighting it. She breathed the smoke up into the air.
"Anyway, can I stay here tonight so you can tell me stuff about him?"
"No," I said. "You need to go home. Let's call your parents so they can come and get you."
"You don't believe me, do you? You don't want to help."
"Wait, that's not true. We've only just..."
"Oh, you just don't care, do you?"
The girl turned, and before I could say anything more, closed the front door loudly behind her. I got my computer and searched for Tanya Horton Miller on the internet. Nothing showed up. Then I wrote Tanya Miller and Will Traynor. And suddenly, I was seeing a Facebook conversation for past students of Durham University. Several women were talking about Will's death. I couldn't believe it when I heard it on the news. Poor Will.
Wasn't Will Traynor the one who went out with Tanya Miller? When we were at university, I thought that she and Will might marry, but they never did. Here she is with her husband, who's a banker.
There was a picture of a thin, blonde woman in a wedding dress, standing with an older, dark-haired man, smiling. Beside them stood a young girl with an unhappy face. She looked just like the Lily Horton Miller who I had just met.
I'll stay away from this, I decided. It can only bring pain and trouble if I get it wrong.
But when I went to bed, it was Lily's voice that I heard whispering around the silent flat.
I need to talk to you about my father. His name is Will Traynor.